Hell is up, guys, and welcome to another episode of What Metalcore Mania. Let's fucking do it. Let's go, guys. Man, it has been quite some time, guys. You know, I do apologize. I did promise that I would be doing 4 episodes this month. So I am very, very, very excited to be back, man. I've been prepping this for about a week. I've been prepping these episodes for about a week. It does take some time. It takes a lot more time to prep them than to actually do them, of course. But, man, I'm just so thrilled, just so excited to be back on here to talk about one of the things that I enjoy most about life in general. There's not many things that I prefer more than hardcore music, guys. You guys know this. And, man, like I said, man, I'm just excited to be here, man. It's been a long time coming. And I don't plan on taking this type of hiatus again because the prepping is just that much harder. It's never taken me about a week to prep for any episode. Usually just takes a few hours. But when you take this much time here we are, man. Here the fuck we are. And hey, man, shout out Germany, shout out France, shout out America, shout out all the countries that have been showing me love. I do appreciate it. Watching the episodes, when I saw the response to the Born of Osiris episode, which was my last episode, just seeing that response and just seeing the interactions I had with that episode, it made me very excited. And trust me, guys, I wanted to come back sooner than now because I do appreciate that. I do appreciate you guys, watching it. And, I'm pretty sure you guys appreciate the work that I put into that episode. That was actually one of my most enjoyable episodes, guys. But, with this pandemic going on and different things happening, and me actually going from Florida to California from time to time, there has been some complications. I did tell you guys that, I'm pretty sure I expressed some depressional things because I was supposed to, not only did I miss out on the sponsor for my episode, for my pod, but I was also supposed to be moving to Puerto Rico full time, and I was supposed to actually become an artist there. But instead of actually doing paintings for now, I was actually going to be selling some of my content to a museum there. And once I sold the content from them, we're going to be making NFTs. Which I'm pretty sure you guys probably know a little bit about. But if you don't, just a small summary of what an NFT would be. It's basically like a digital copy of, some type of artwork or some type of moment or a person's likeness. And basically with that copy, people get a copy of the original painting, basically. And it was going to be created in more of a digital setting. And I was basically going to be making residual income that way just by having my work in there for show. I was going to be painting also on request. So not only was I going to be making passive income from that art museum and PR, but, I was also going to still be a personal artist. And also, just doing my thing, so I'm the type of person I would never work, normal jobs because that's just not my style. I come from a background of people that do, different type of things. My dad is a videographer and my mom is a basically an abstract artist, and she also did ballerina for 20 years. So, just learning from them and, molded me into the artist that I am today. So with that being said, I'm not a person that would work for someone.
I definitely want to do my work, but with COVID and the pandemic happening, it definitely pushed a lot of those endeavors and desires back. But, you know, it'll happen eventually. I was in contact recently with that museum in Puerto Rico, and, you know, we're working on, you know, trying to push back and trying to go back out there. We're working out some things, working out some contractual things, but I just got back to California a couple of days ago, and man, it's been a wild ride for sure, and I'm excited, and we'll see what the future holds, man. We'll see what the future holds. One thing about life is that sometimes you just gotta enjoy the process, enjoy, you know, just the whole thing, you know, the interactions you have with people, whether online or in person, and, you know, just trying to get through and, you know, just making the most out of everything, man. You know, so I've learned to try to appreciate life and try to be positive. I did actually recently read a book by, I believe, Joseph Murphy called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. If you've never read that book, or if you're into books, definitely give that one a read. Definitely check that out. It will definitely change your perspective on a lot of things. I believe so. I'm pretty sure that book it has different languages as well. So I'm pretty sure you can get a copy in whatever language that you do speak. But yeah, man. So, you know, just trying to read and, you know, and just try to figure things out. But, you know, I'm still young. But with that being said, guys, back to the hardcore stuff. I just wanted to give you guys a little update on what's been going on with this COVID crisis. And another thing about me going to Puerto Rico is that I do believe that I would have to get the vaccine. I'm not saying that no one should get the vaccine or that I'm pro-vax or anti-vax, but it is something that does make me have to think of, that I have to think about. Because, yeah, so I would have to be getting that. So, you know, just for safety precautions. But, yeah, guys. But, man, so, yeah, that's what's been going on with me. I wonder what's been going on with you guys. How's the pandemic been treating you? What have you guys been up to? Have you guys been fighting down the wall? Have you guys been breaking down barriers? Have you guys been fighting against the system? You know, we all know taxation stuff, you know, and I'm looking forward to hearing a lot from you guys, so much so that I partner with, WordPress? So I actually built a website there, and I'm going to post that link in the description, and hopefully you guys can check it out. That way you guys could actually see, you know, more about me. You'll actually be able to have more interaction, send me messages easier instead of just sending voicemails on here, you know, for any suggestions, maybe some bands that I don't know about, you know, just anything of that nature, just even more about you. I would like to get to know you guys better because I do believe that we are all in sync. We're in this together. People that like hardcore music, I like to consider us a family because it's not the, you know, it's not the mainstream thing. So, yeah, man, I would definitely like to hear from you guys. You could also donate to the pod there. I have some information about that up. And hopefully one day we can get some merch going and stuff like that. But yeah, guys, so I'll post that in the description. And I hope to hear from you guys and hope to get more interactions with you guys personally. I really look forward to that type of stuff. And I do believe that will be pretty damn exciting. So I definitely look forward to that. And now, since I have been going away, there's going to be a lot to unpack, guys. And, you know, let's get right into it, man. Let's fucking do it, man. Stay metal, baby. Hey, what's up, guys? It is your boy Jay. We are back. And the first album that I want to talk about and discuss, there's been quite a few albums since I've been out, but there's some that actually do stand out from bands that I do like and I do appreciate. So we're going to go into those albums, guys, and I might actually be forgetting some albums, and that's why I want you guys to interact with me and definitely go to the website and, you know, give me suggestions and things like that. Maybe there are some bands that I don't know about, but one of the bands that do stand out to me that I wanted to talk about, which happens to be my best friend's favorite band, that is the very experimental, as we know them, Between the Buried and Me. Between the Buried and Me released Colors 2, which is a sequel to their prequel Colors, which I did appreciate that album. I definitely was more of a fan of the Parallax 2. You know, that album was nominated for so many different things, man. And you know, Colors was solid. But man, checking out this album, I was definitely interested to see them. Between the Buried and Me, they basically give you a fresh taste in the metalcore genre. They're very refreshing. Like I said, they're not afraid to take risks. They definitely take risks. They're definitely spacey and spontaneous, so to speak. And they definitely have their own style. They are unique within themselves, and they don't really sound like any other band. I do believe their vocals are pretty great. They could emphasize more on that, but they choose to be more technically, you know, experimental. So, yeah, man, so that's their style. It's unique. It's not, you know, much like any of the traditional monotony that we have with a lot of metalcore bands that do the whole copy and paste style, you know, where it's loud intro, verse, chorus, verse, breakdown, chorus, you know, outro. So they are refreshing. You can appreciate them. They're one of those bands that I would recommend listening to if you don't know about them, when you are just on late night drives, maybe, you know, you have nowhere else to go but driving. So I do think they're good for that type of scenario, that type of setting. Definitely not a band you want to work out to. I would definitely not recommend that. But yeah, so they're good for what they do, for sure, for sure. So we're going to get into this album, guys. We're going to go song by song. Some songs I won't have a lot of feedback for, you know, just for, you know, the pace of the episode. I do have a lot we're going to be getting into. So some of the songs, you know, if I don't have a lot to say about them, rightfully so, I do plan on doing 4 episodes back to back. So I'm just going to give you the feedback which I deem necessary. Okay, so first song we have here is Monochrome. I do believe that Monochrome definitely had a beautiful intro. I did appreciate the intro. I was definitely a fan. It got my attention. Like I said, Between the Buried and Me has the ability to have that spacey theme to where they kind of like relax your mind at times and kind of like put you in space mentally. I do like how the piano chimes in. It just kind of comes in at the perfect time, and you can definitely really appreciate the piano work. It was very nice. I've always been a fan of when bands add like keyboards, pianos, you know, just all different types of instruments. I am a big fan of that because that's one thing you can appreciate about metalcore, is that metalcore is able to combine, you know, all genres pretty much, and it can sound good no matter what. even if it's, you guys know I'm a huge fan of symphonic metal, and that uses, you know, all different type of instruments. So yeah, man, it can all be beautiful. It can all be beautiful. One thing about mainstream music is they can't really add our music into it because people wouldn't like it necessarily. So they don't have the luxury of being able to do what we're able to do. But I'm kind of ranting a little bit, so I'll finish talking about Monochrome. But yeah, like I said, it has a beautiful intro, like how the piano chimes in. Lyrically, the lyrics are about embracing life for what it is. You know, the vortex it is, you know, and basically how we're basically never really in control. You know, anything can happen at any moment. So those are my thoughts on Monochrome. I do like the song, though. Double Helix. I do like the Between the Buried and Me. when they kind of yell Between the Buried and Me a bunch of times toward the end of the song, that kind of stood out for me. I think that was cool. I kind of like the idea of a band saying their own name in a song. I always thought that that's kind of cool. Just because of how rare it is. To some people, it may seem a little quirky, but I kind of like it. But yeah, I liked that part a lot. I like how it has a very nice spatial outro. Goes back to the whole space theme. So yeah, I really enjoy the outro a lot. I'm a big fan of outros. And the song pretty much starts off in your face, bam, boom, you know, bam, boom, bingo. It's all in your face, you know, typical Between the Buried and Me style. They are not afraid to jump in your face and do the, rah, rah, you know, they will do that. And that is definitely part of their style, to get in your face. And the song, for me, was mostly about how the band's existence alone causes fear in the world. You know, that their presence basically causes people to have anxiety and fear because they're just standouts in their own right. And that's the way they see it. So, yeah, Double Helix was definitely a solid song. Revolution in Limbo, my takeaways from this song. Is that we're so comfortable with not monotony lyrically. This is my takeaway from their lyrics, is that, you know, that we're so comfortable with monotony that we're afraid of a revolution. That's basically ours for the taking, you know. And you think about the times that we're in now, how we can stand up and make sure certain things don't go in our body, but a lot of people aren't willing to stand up to that because we rather just move on with life. Just like how most people rather use a microwave than an oven. And most people rather use an oven than start a fire or grill, which are all healthier, better ways. But, you know, we kind of just go through life, I guess, you know. A lot of us don't want to fight. So here we are. You know, and just basically how, you know, their anger towards the system, and things just like that, you know, they definitely have that theme in this song to where they're kind of like, trying to combat the system and things of that nature. I do believe it was a beautiful chorus. I like how the chorus came in, chimed in. I definitely, could appreciate that chorus. It was definitely my favorite part of the song. I do like how there was some circus transitions. They seemed very circusy to me. I could appreciate those. I like the occasional guitar and, you know, basically how it came in and chimed in. They weren't like super heavy with it on this song, but I liked it. I liked it, the occasional guitar. I think it was definitely good timing. And this was definitely one of my more favorite songs. Moving on to Fix the Error. Well, first off, this is a funny ass music video, man. If you have not seen the music video for Fix the Error, you definitely should watch that. You can't listen to this song without watching the music video, man. It's funny as hell. There's no fucking doubt about it. I do recommend having shrooms or acid before watching this because it'll basically just make it that much better. It'll probably make it 10 times better, honestly. And yeah, you definitely want to do that before watching this. It is a funny ass video. The intro has partial drums with bass flow. You know, you can tell that the drums aren't like super solid. You know, but they do have that bass chiming in almost at the same type of rhythm as the drums, which is sort of unique in a way, which I appreciate it. To me, in my opinion, this is the coolest drum solo I've heard in a long time, guys. You don't really get too many drum solos in metalcore, so that was really cool to hear. I think that was unique. Like I said, man, Between the Buried and Me is not afraid to take risk. And I think that shit was pretty fucking fire, honestly. And that drum solo alone makes this song very repeatable. Like I said, the music video shows every drummer playing individually. So you can actually see all the different drummers that they use because it wasn't just one drummer. And they all had their individual part in the drumming set of this song, man. And just goes to show you how seriously they take their technical prowess. And it's just something that, you know, you can appreciate it. My favorite part is the red light, green light. That definitely has to be my favorite part when they kept saying red light, green light. I thought that shit was fucking hilarious. And I do really like the infamous scream, you know, after, you know, and they kept saying red light, green light. And then it was like infamous, you know, and that scream. I do think that shit was pretty, lit, man. You can't lie about that. but yeah, so that's Fix the Air. Turbulent. Turbulent is actually my favorite song on the record. I definitely appreciated Turbulent for what it was, man. It was a great, great, epic music undertone. You can feel throughout the entire song. It almost feels like it was produced by Audio Machine, you know, or Hans Zimmer or something. So, man, and I'm a huge epic music fan. I do like epic music. So, you know, that caught my attention. You know, almost immediately. I do believe the song had a great pace. Some of the better transitions on the album, the way they was able to transition the sound and the guitar, bass, drums, just the whole rhythm of the song pretty fluidly. I do believe they did have the best transitions on the album, this song. I do believe the outro was sick, man. It was sick, bro. It was a gnarly ass outro that I believe was pretty fucking fire. For a song called Turbulent, the outro was the farthest thing from it, man. So I found that to be pretty fucking ironic. And I thought that the heavy piano was crisp and clean. And I really appreciated it. Moving on to Sfumato. I believe Sfumato is just a pretty chill instrumental. Not a whole lot to say about it. There's, you know, no lyrics to talk about even, but I think it's a chill instrumental. It's something that you could definitely listen to, you know, if you're, you know, just in a chill environment and you just kind of want to chill. I do believe it's a solid outro. Sfumato. Oh my gosh, I'm having so much trouble saying that, man. But yeah, I'm not saying that ever again. So I'm just going to say motto. Okay. That's it. But anyways, I think it was a chill instrumental, which is cool, man. Cause you know, like I said, Between the Buried and Me, they kind of like to be in your face. So it's kind of cool to, you know, to have a chill song to kind of like, you know, reset that adrenaline. Sometimes I am a big, proponent of that, you know, having the aggression and adrenaline being reset with some chillness. I do enjoy that. If I compared it, you know, to like that in your face style with Between the Bear to Me, like their style to like an MMA fighter, I guess, a UFC fighter, which I'm a big fan of the UFC. I would probably say it's like Sean O'Malley, I guess, the colorful rainbow hair guy in the UFC. But anyways, I give the album a 3 out of 5. I give a solid 3 out of 5. There was some good. There was a little bit of, you know, not so good. And, yeah, so that's why I give it a 3 out of 5. As you can see, guys, I did not review all the songs because, you know, for the sake of me releasing these episodes and getting them out, some of the albums I didn't want to review fully. But I just wanted to review, you know, the songs that I felt like meant the most for this particular album. But yeah, so I give the album overall 3 out of 5. So yeah, it's solid. It's solid. Could have been better, but it's good for what they are, you know, Between the Bear and Me. So I give it a solid 3 out of 5. And guys, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. And we're going to dive right into some singles. So stay tuned. What the fuck is up, guys? Welcome back, man. Let's get right into it, man. Now, as you guys know, there has been many different singles that have come out since I have been away. So on the next few episodes I'm going to be doing, I'm definitely going to be covering a lot of them. I'm actually going to have an episode that I'm going to dedicate just for singles, but we would definitely want to discuss a few here, along with discussing some in the future, because I know there's so many we have to cover. But you guys know I do like to discuss singles for sure, as well as albums. But one of the singles I want to discuss now is Death Inside by Memphis Mayfire. I didn't think it was that great. I think it was pretty predictable, pretty standard Memphis Mayfire, to be quite honest. However, I did enjoy that there was a powerful ass breakdown. This shit was pretty fucking sick. That's the only thing that really, really stood out to me on this track. That's pretty much it. The song lyrically is pretty much talking about how you can self-sabotage yourself and how that can basically cut you dry, and those type of things usually can get in your head, and, you know, just the mental breakdown of oneself, I found to be what the song was talking about. And yeah, so a pretty decent message, I would say. But as far as an overall song, I didn't particularly enjoy it that much. And you guys know Memphis Mayfire is like in my top 5 bands, definitely on my Mount Rushmore. But yeah, this one didn't really do it that much for me. But like I said, I can appreciate that powerful ass breakdown. I also want to talk about Memphis Mayfire's Bleed Me Dry song. Now, this song, I have a lot more to actually say about it. First off, that was a sexy-ass intro. Can we just take a moment to say that? That was a sexy-ass intro. You could definitely appreciate the intro. The song lyrically was about people that hate on the band and want to see their downfall, basically. You know, the chorus is okay. It could have been better. In my opinion, the transitional unclean vocals are sick as fuck. I definitely did enjoy the transitional uncleans, the way they just basically captured that moment and just were, you know, just bing bam with it. I did appreciate that, which some Memphis Mayfire has always been good at. They do have a very savage breakdown in this song as well. This seems to be one. This seems to be the norm of this band coming forward, like in the future. I believe this album is going to have a lot of sick breakdowns when you look at some of the singles that they've released. And I anticipate this album to be pretty damn good. I really do. I think they've had some hit or misses in the last about 6 years. So we definitely could use a really, really, really good Memphis Mayfire album. So we could definitely use that. Also about this song, I would say, like I said, it's a very savage breakdown, and this seems to be one of the norms of the band. It is definitely one of the sickest breakdowns, honestly, in my opinion, of all time. I mean, if you just go and listen to that shit and just, I mean, I can literally just put this breakdown on the repeat itself. So, yeah, man, that's a huge statement for me to say that it's one of the best of all time. But in my opinion, it definitely is. And this is why we know and love Memphis Mayfire, man. They can bring heat, man. They're definitely no strangers to bringing heat. That's for damn sure. And I do believe that the outro saying cut, cut, cut is pretty clever and overall a lively outro. I think it was pretty fire, man. I really do. I definitely appreciated the outro a lot to talk about Bleed Me Dry. And moving on to another Memphis Mayfire song, we have Somebody. I do believe that with Somebody, the synth bass intro is pretty cool. I did like the production value on that, where they went with that. Maddie talked about how the song is about, I've heard Maddie himself talk about how the song is about when you're down the barrel of substance abuse and you're at the end of your rope, man, you know, and based on that abuse, you know, you might off yourself, you know. So sadly, this happens all the time and probably every day. I would say that it's not the most progressive song on the album. All recent music videos are shot in the same setting, which I did find a little bit odd. That all of their like recent music videos, Bleed Me Dry, all of them are like shot in the same room or like shot in the same. It's like the same theme. I don't know if it's because of COVID or I don't know if the record label just has a vision with that or I highly doubt that it's because of COVID, because there's a lot of bands that are making music videos, very creative music videos, like Ice Nine Kills, which we'll get into. But yeah, man. So I just really don't really understand why they're shooting it in the same setting, but it does feel a little monotonous. Hopefully they can bring a change to that. And we'll look forward to that. Now moving on to our guys, Under Oath, the quote-unquote Christian band who has fully revealed that they are not Christian. They went on to say that they haven't really been Christian since 2009. Which probably surprises a lot of people. Now, my takeaway on Under Oath being Christian the entire time that I've been listening to them would be, I just believe that if you're not talking about God or Jesus Christ in all of your songs, then you're not really Christian. You know what I'm saying? Like having a positive message and being Christian are two different things. You know, and when you really think about it, they didn't really talk about Christ in their songs like that. So I just think they've always been more of a positive band. I mean, you can select a few songs where they like legitimately talked about God and things like that. But yeah, I don't really think they've ever really been Christian. But I want to talk about the Hallelujah song. I do believe it's a unique song. You know, it falls in its own sort of ambient sound. Like I said, I do like the ambient vocal work. I do think it was really cool, a cool choir sound. I'm always a big fan of the choir, considering I love symphonic music. Choirs usually kind of sort of come with that and that sort of feel in itself. I do believe that Aaron and Spencer share vocal duty on this song, which I believe was very, very profound and pretty beautiful, man. I liked it a lot. It's always good when you can have two different, singers, backup singers. It just kind of adds a different type of layer to it. I guess that's why Issues wanted Michael Bond to really be an official vocalist for them. Because, just having two different vocalists kind of adds just like different versatility to the music. But Issues wanting Michael Bond to be a prominent singer on basically the entire Headspace album and moving forward was just very weird to me. And I don't want to go on a rant about this because I know it's off subject, but I'll probably talk about it a little more when I get more into Issues. But yeah, man, that whole thing of wanting him to sing. I mean, Tyler Carter is a top three vocalist, at least clean vocalist in the metalcore scene. Top three minimum. He might be the best. And for them to want to have such a strong desire for Michael to sing is just very, very odd to me, especially when you have not only, like I said, probably a top three vocalist in the scene, but also you have someone like Skylar who can actually sing the bassist, which we saw on what was the song that they did where he sang? I think it was I forget it, man, but it was on their latest album. And I forgot which song it is, man. But he definitely does some cleans on one of those songs. But yeah, man, the point is that, yeah, man, so they didn't need Michael Bond to sing. But it's always cool when you have that type of versatility. And it's also similar to the way they have it with Periphery, how Spencer's the main singer. But obviously they'll, have Jake sing some, and it adds more of that versatility that, it's pretty appealing. And more about the Hallelujah song. Like I said, it's pretty damn haunting and dark. I like the overall dark feeling that surrounds the song. It feels pretty dark and haunting, which is pretty cool for a song. You call it Hallelujah, but you kind of have that dark element to it, which I found to be pretty cool. There's definitely a lot of religious symbolism, which you would expect. I definitely believe it was an amazing climax to the song, especially considering a vulgar outcry and chilling breakdown. I believe that just the vulgarity in that breakdown, and for the song to be called Hallelujah and for them to be known by many people as a Christian band was really damn chilling. And, when you're a horror movie junkie like I am, to have something feel that chilling and almost feel like a horror song was pretty delightful, man. It was actually pretty delightful. So I guess you guys can tell I did really enjoy this song. I do believe Spencer really knows how to utilize his harsh vocal when necessary, which I think is important. He knows how to use them at the right time because, they are under oath. They didn't really make their name off of harsh vocals. So, just knowing when to use them is great. They don't have to be, heavy by any means. So, but it actually would be cool to see Under Oath make a deathcore album, though. That would be really fucking interesting. But another thing I really enjoy about Earth, man, is that they pretty much stayed together, man, this entire time. So I think that's pretty fucking pretty rad, man. That's some fiery shit, man. And I think anyone can pretty much appreciate that. Their harsh vocals for metalcore should be appropriately used. And I just think that, they have the right time. They pick their spots, and I think it's pretty delightful for sure, man. But that's going to be it for singles right now. We're going to actually go back into diving into albums, and then eventually we'll go back to singles. But I definitely want to cover these albums and make this episode mostly about covering albums. And the next album that we're going to be covering is Fina's album, The Fire Itself. Be back soon. Stay metal. What is up, guys, and welcome back to the third and final segment of this current episode. And we're going to be covering Fina's new album, which is called The Fire Itself. Now, The Fire Itself, you know, I would say I was pretty much anticipating this album because of their last album, Dark Flag. And it's been a long time coming, you know. It's what has it been, 4 years since they've come out with a new record. So it was definitely something I was looking forward to. Fina's is a band that I actually recently found out about. I listened to Dark Flag. I liked it. So I figured, you know, this should be a good record. You know, in my mind, this should be good. And I was definitely looking forward to this shit, man. You know, when you think about songs like Hell Below and songs like that, I saw the bombs fall in on Dark Flag. You think, holy shit, man, this should definitely be a banger. But, hey, man, so with that being said, let's get right into it. Let's see if it disappointed or if it lived up to what I thought it would be. Okay, so the first track, Eternally Apart. I did think was a solid song. I do like the intro. I think it was a fiery intro. I think the guitar solo was just okay. Didn't really like stand out or make a huge difference in the song, I would say. I do believe that I think that lyrically they were trying to express that, you know, being separated from your soul in a sense. You know, longing to understand the real you. You know, growing up in a society only makes it harder because of so many distractions. So I think they was trying to, you know, pretty much allude to that. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, I just did a little mini burp there. But yeah, man, I think lyrically, there's definitely some content to it. Not really much to cover too much as far as the song itself. I think it was just an okay song. You know, typical Fina's. But moving on to my favorite song on the track, which is the self-titled song, The Fire Itself, baby. So I think that it was a nasty, nasty breakdown, especially when the, you know, those, yeah, you know, those, yeah, screams that really make the pre-chorus phenomenal. You know, it crosses the bridge into deathcore influences. You definitely hear some of the deathcore nuances going on there. There's a cool drop beat guitar solo that was short and sweet, which you can definitely appreciate. I think it was really solid, the placement of it as well. The song is about not caving in within yourself. So, you know, just being a strong enough individual, not feeling any anxiety about just letting it all hang out, basically. Being spontaneous, being rambunctious, you know, not being an asshole to people, but more so also expressing yourself, even if that means refusing to work for corporate America, basically. So I think that lyrically, this song really offered a lot. You guys know that we are big into covering lyrics in this channel, and that's what pretty much separates my channel. You know, because I do believe that there's a lot to take away from a lot of these songs. And to be honest, man, you don't even really need to read a lot of influential, stimulating books because, you know, with metal lyrics, you know, it's just pretty insane, man. But I definitely think The Fire Itself is the best song, and I'll definitely recommend this song to be, you know, that song that you probably start the album off with if you want to anticipate some greatness there. But moving on, we have Thorns. I like Thorns. The intro goes from pretty much like calm to unique and sexy as hell. You know, one of the best intros this year, in my opinion. Definitely a very, very solid intro. It might actually take home the intro of the year award. Man, I can't wait to do my annual award show, man. That's going to be so fun, man. It's going to be my second one. It's definitely not my favorite overall, though. Definitely felt a little predictable, the song, the structure of it. Bridge and chorus didn't offer much, which was a little disappointing. Guitar solo, I felt, wasn't necessary, considering the pre-breakdown and breakdown themselves. You know, so I didn't really think the guitar solo really, like, fit in there. I did enjoy the song ending with the name of the song, you know. similar to the last album we covered that pretty much did the same thing, which is Between the Bear and Me song. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. The song lyrically is about a bad relationship. The lyrics are sort of all over the place on this one. So I never got a clear point of the message. But if you guys know, please leave a voicemail to help me out there, or go to my blog post on WordPress, which will I'll have the link in the description. And yeah, please give me some feedback on what you think this song was about, because lyrically, I just couldn't get in touch with it, which doesn't happen pretty often. But overall, I think Thorns is definitely worth listening to, but I wouldn't really repeat, put on repeat or anything like that. The next song, War You Know, I believe War You Know, the lyrics are about how every sunrise is your final day, meaning having a never give up attitude and always fighting to your calling, fighting to find your calling, essentially meaning if you find your true calling, you wouldn't want to give up in the first place. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, most of us that get suicidal and things like that, you're pretty much not going to become suicidal if, you know, if you find out what you're actually supposed to be doing. Because if you find out what you're actually supposed to be doing, that will 99.9% of the times make you happy in itself, because you will feel the need to do that. So, yeah, so I pretty much just have a lyric breakdown for War You Know. It was just a pretty monotonous song, pretty basic song. Not a whole lot to talk about as far as the song goes, but at least there was something to take from the lyrics, guys, right? Defining moments. Once again, a song that where, like, nothing really stands out. So not really much to talk about there either, sadly. Lyrically, though, it's about not sticking around. When the effort you're putting into someone, when they're not giving it back to you, which happens, you know, all the time, every day. And I'll encourage you listeners to do the same, because there's always someone better. You know, specifically relationship-wise, a lot of people stick around in relationships because, you know, a relationship does make your quality of life better. Obviously, however, a relationship could be toxic. And if you just have that longing to be with someone, like you're the type of person that, you know, you can't be alone because you just don't feel comfortable alone and you just feel like you need to be with someone. Hey, man, get out of that damn toxic relationship, please. God damn. I mean, you know, there's always someone better. Trust me. You know, there's always someone better. And then when you meet that better person, you kind of hate yourself for waiting. With that being said, I'll tell you guys a funny college story that I had, and it's pretty short. But yeah, so I was basically dating someone in college, and as I was dating someone in college, I was actually like in a really bad relationship, right? I had a mutual friend that I was introduced to from a friend. Her name was Ari, and I thought she was really cool. And, you know, every time I hung out with her when she would be around, I figured it would be great if I dated her. You know, we just had this great chemistry. It just felt so, you know, relaxing and calming. And long story short, I ended up getting out of my relationship maybe, you know, within a month's time. And then, and sadly, it was the end of the semester. So we were all going home and things like that. Now, I am from California, but I went to college in Florida. So, you know, I usually go back home, you know, during the, you know, when semesters are over. So, you know, and she was from Florida. I ended up actually talking to her after the case, and she, you know, basically told me that, man, she was just so interested in me. She wished I was single that entire time, and she wished I would have dated her. And, you know, it's not that she wasn't, like, taken by the time I was interested in being with her, but it was just the fact that, you know, the changes in life, you know, the season that was happening in life. And that's very important, you know, like seasons in life, you know, like sometimes people are ready for you. Sometimes people are not. Sometimes people are going to be assholes. Sometimes people are going to be responsible or whatever, man. And but yeah, man, you know, with that happening, the timing of it was just off. You know, we ended up trying to do long distance, just didn't really work out. And, you know, I'll be honest, she wasn't a bad looking girl. So I wasn't surprised, you know, before we came back to school, you know, she had moved on. And had I just talked to her, you know, a few months prior, man, and just got out of my toxic relationship where there are so much arguments, I would have been better for it, you know. But, hey, man, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, I experienced it, and I just encourage you guys, you listeners, to shit. You're in a toxic situation, move on from it, because I could have had a much better situation. You know, but it's life, man. You know, we get comfortable. So with that being said, you know, and I like telling these little stories, you know, I think they do provide something for the pod. But like I said, when you're talking about this song, though, you know, I don't think it was the greatest song. But yeah, it was pretty solid, which was defining moments. Moving on to Sever by Self Portrayal. Sorry, guys. Once again, didn't really think it offered that much sonically. The track itself wasn't really that great to me. Another basic monotonous song that didn't really enjoy that much. Didn't really particularly think anything instrumentally or technically about this song. Didn't really stand out for me. So as you guys can see, man, I mean, there's some songs that I just didn't really, you know, enjoy on this album. But lyrically, once again, you know, we always can take something from the lyrics. It's like reading a book, right? Some good chapters, some bad chapters. But lyrically, this song is about taking ownership of who you really are outside of your parents' expectations. I'll say that again. Lyrically, this song is about taking ownership of who you really are outside of your parents' expectations, because we all know our parents have a certain expectation for us. And, you know, it's not really about what they want us to be. It's about who we are called to be. You know what I'm saying? A quick example of that would be if, you know how a lot of parents want their kids to go to college, but what if your kid wants to be a rock star? You know, that may require them not only not going to college, turning that down, but also they may need to live at home longer than the typical 18, 19, 20-year-old. You know, they might need to live at home because they're trying to grind and push for their music career, which requires not necessarily earning, you know, a decent wage, because you're grinding for your goal and grinding to be signed. So a lot of times you're, you know, there's even times where you might be even working for free. So the life of a musician when you're starting up can be a little, you know, how could I word this? It could be a little, you just got to have some patience, you know. And your parents, like I said, may want you to go to college, because if you go to college, you get a degree, whether it's master's, doctor's, bachelor's. It usually does guarantee not that you'll have a job in your field, but it usually guarantees that you will be making more than minimum wage, which means you can actually have a house and a white picket fence. So typically anyway, but so yeah, man, you know, so that's that. It's also about not severing the responsibility you have to yourself to be yourself, you know, because that's another huge thing. Sadly, a lot of people do this and they're pushing a message out with this one. So I do believe that this song does have one of the strongest messages on the album. I do like to read the entire album because albums usually are telling a story. So whether the song's good or not, sometimes it is good to understand where they're coming from lyrically and just be able to take something away from it. The next song we have is Holy Coward. Not Holy Cow, Holy Coward. You damn right. So yeah, man, Holy Coward. First off, CJ Maschinato from Galactic Empire was brilliant in the intro. I really enjoyed his solo guitaring on that intro. It was pretty damn sick. And it was unique for this album, I believe, especially the way he plays. You guys know how I feel about setting up a great song with a great intro. I am really big on that. Unfortunately, this song wasn't so great, and CJ was the only really standout on the song. So it actually wasn't really a great song in the end, like you would expect after that type of intro. Besides Sean having some pretty gnarly growls in this one, like when he says, "Oh, shred," you know, in the intro, man, it's pretty damn sick. You know how Sean says that, but outside of that, man, there's not a whole lot to this one. Lyrically, honestly, I couldn't really put together what this song, the message it was trying to send out. So I didn't just want to just, you know, take notes for anything. You know, I'd like to know what I'm talking about. So once again, if you guys know what they're talking about, please go to the blog post site. Link will be in the description, or leave me a voicemail and please educate me. I am humble. You can educate me. Yes. and just tell me what you believe that this song was, the message it was trying to send out. I would definitely like to know. Moving on, though, we have Dream Thief. Wow, man. Another very solid, slick intro. And it seems to be a theme with this album, having slick intros. Just something you pick up after giving the record a listen. You kind of realize that they're trying to have like these slick, nice intros, which I think is pretty pretty cool, pretty sound. Once again, the shreds stand out the most on this track. What I like about Phoenix and what makes them refreshing in contrast to some of my favorite bands is that they do put an emphasis on their guitar work and basically all members having some vocal responsibility. You notice that. That is something that definitely stands out and something you definitely notice, even if you listen to the music videos or whatever, you can tell that there's different vocal delivery coming from all members of the band just about. Maybe not the drummer, but I'm pretty sure just about all of them have some vocal responsibility, which I think is like super fucking cool. And you don't get that. You know, that's not a normal thing that you get from every band. It's usually two singers at the most, but yeah, I mean, I think that's I think pretty damn cool. It's unique in a way, especially when my favorite bands are Motionless and White, I See Stars and Crown Empire, bands like that. It's refreshing to see more technical stuff. So when I do hear it and I see it, I definitely appreciate it. Lyrically, the song is about your reaction and your wherewithal to persevere in life when everything you thought would be of value and make you happy, your only desires don't come to life or are suddenly taken away from you. Who are you truly without these tangible goals, you know? And that's pretty much what the song is about. You know, if you lose these things that you deem as valuable or you don't get or you don't reach a goal that you thought that you should reach, how will you be on the inside? You know, who are you really, you know? And moving on to The Storm In Me. So The Storm In Me, not really a whole lot to talk about with this one either. But the song lyrically is basically about not feeling good enough to get through the sinkhole, if you will, feeling stuck inside a vortex of suffocation, with basically no way out. And, you know, those are pretty much what the lyrics are about, feeling, you know, kind of stuck and suffocating. As far as any type of technical element of the song or structural taste, nothing really stood out to me. You know, and that's just the unfortunate thing about this song, though. But there you have it. That's A Storm In Me. Moving on to In The Night. I do believe that In The Night, more low growls. More low growls. You know, that's just pretty much the theme I have with this song. I needed more low fucking growls, man. I definitely needed more low growls. I wish we got more low growls on this song. It would have just completely knocked the roof off on this song. I just believe that them going with the highs just didn't deliver for me. And that's just something that I noticed. I do believe that the song didn't need the second long chorus. I don't think they really needed it to be that long. The drumming was awesome, and the transitions and intro pretty much really stands out on this track. And that's what you'll basically see from this track. And when you have all those type of transitions like that are gnarly as hell like that, you don't really need a long chorus at all. You know, it kind of gets in the way of the song being, you know, experimentally savage, you know, like it truly was. But lyrically, you know, it's about how close we are to death, basically. You know, how, you know, we're basically on the brink, you know. We're just a car accident away. We're just a victimization away, just, you know, a disease away. You know, we're always close to death, man. It's always lurking right around the fucking corner. But, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. I do rate this album from Phoenix. I would give this album I'll probably give it a 2 out of 5. I'll give this album a 2 out of 5. I didn't really like the direction it was going as far as having too many monotonous songs. Sometimes they had growls, you know, from the wrong tone. The guitar solos a lot of times were very nice, but a lot of times they just were very dull. I mean, if you're going to depend that heavily on your guitar work, which you can tell Phoenix really emphasizes that, you need more guitar isolation, and don't just make it a part of the song. Actually, like, make it stand out more, you know. So they definitely have a lot of potential. Phoenix definitely can reach great heights, in my opinion. But I think it's just some type of structural work that they need to put together correctly. But as you can see lyrically, man, I mean, a lot of their lyrics does fire me up. I can definitely appreciate this band lyrically. And it just seems as though they're pretty much hit or miss. So to be honest, I may not even do another Phoenix album breakdown, because when I do these album breakdowns, I don't really like to down on a band. So, you know, maybe I should choose more bands that I have a little bit more higher expectations for, and not bands that, you know, I like but aren't necessarily dominant with their sound, because, you know, I really don't like to do negative breakdowns. I try not to do that. And I ended up having to give them a 2 out of 5, gave Between the Beard and Me album 3 out of 5. So none of them really got that 4 or that 5, but these aren't the only albums I'm going to be covering, man. I'll be covering some more albums really soon. So, man, I'm pretty sure we will get what we need, what we're looking for. There's no fucking doubt about it. There's no doubt in my mind that we will get that, guys. But it feels great to be back. It feels great to do this episode, man. We fucking stayed metal. all October long. This is Halloween month. You guys better fucking go trick-or-treating or go cosplaying or do something fucking rare, because we all know that this holiday is a lot better than Christmas, is a lot better than Valentine's Day, is a lot better than even Hanukkah, baby. And Halloween, we're taking over, baby. We're taking fucking over. You know, definitely a great time. And, you know, man, hopefully this COVID stuff kind of chills out, cools down, and shit, we can move on, man. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, man. We'll see if Trump runs for the election again. That would be funny. You guys know that was my guy, low-key. And, man, yeah, man, we'll be look forward to the next episode that'll be dropping. It'll be dropping really soon after this one. We got some more stuff that's about to drop, too, very, very soon here. And like I said, we're going to be doing 4 episodes for the month. I might drop at least 3 episodes within today. And so you guys can have that to listen to. But remember, please remember, I'm going to have the link in the description for the website with WordPress. Definitely go there, interact with me, donate if you want. You know, guys, I definitely want to hear your feedback. I definitely want you guys to be in touch. If you go on there, it'll have my information there. Guys, let me know. Should I start a Twitter? How do you guys feel about the breakdowns? What do you guys think about the singles? I definitely want to hear you guys' reaction. Definitely want to hear you guys' feedback and suggestions. And, I mean, I love doing this, man. You know, this is easy for me. I love doing this. The prepping's not always the most fun. But, you know, coming and doing these pods are very, very fun. They make me feel alive. So, because, you know, we all love hardcore music for sure, man. So, guys, make sure you give this episode as much love as you gave my last episode with Born of Osiris. We got more stuff coming up here. The next hour here, but yeah, guys, definitely tell your friends about my pod. Do not forget about that. Please, please tell them about it. I do believe that we do have the best overall knowledge about this music. I've been listening to this for over 10 years. If you guys go to the WordPress website, it gives a little bit more description about me, has a picture of me. And, yeah, guys, I'll also leave the link for leaving a voicemail. And you guys know how we do it, man. Foot on the pedal, stay metal. We're out.